The Ravalli County Family Planning Clinic will close in a few days after the county commissioners today refused to reconsider their recent vote to turn down the federal Title X money that funds the clinic. This, despite the county health board voting to accept the money and despite several pleas from the public to keep the clinic open. County Commissioner Jeff Burrows says testimony at the health board meeting yesterday and at the commissioners' meeting this morning was compelling and heartfelt, but didn't change his mind about accepting the money. Burrows says he objects to the Title X provision that parents do not have to be notified if minors request a clinic product or service like contraception. He says the government should not get between parents and their children.
You know, in schools, a kid can't get an aspirin without parental consent, and we have a lot of other areas in our lives where our parents are required to be notified before their child receives a product or a service.
Ravalli is the only county in the state to refuse Title X money. Judy Griffin is the Ravalli County Public Health Director. She says the majority of teens who use the clinic do have parental involvement, and those who don't receive extensive counseling from the clinic staff.
I really wish this was an Ozzie and Harriet world. Everybody could sit down and talk about sexual issues, you know, with their parents, but it isn't. And a lot of people look to us to be able to come in as a confidential service, you know, to help them, be it, you know, a pregnancy test, an STD concern, contraceptives, you know, give them advice. And I also might point out that there's teens that come into our office that aren't sexually active yet, and they're just trying to get all the information they can.
When the clinic closes, its 420 clients will have to find somewhere else to get the services, either at the Planned Parenthood Clinic in Missoula with private providers or the local hospital. Retired physician Bill Peters doubts the mostly low-income clients will be able to replace the services they're getting now.
I've been a family physician for 40 years, and I've worked with these clinics over and over and over again. And I've seen what they do in communities and what happens when they're not in communities. And this community really does not have a resource to replace this clinic. And therefore, the people that are disadvantaged and don't have what you and I have are simply not going to be having the access to care that they deserve.
County Health Director Judy Griffin says she's extremely dismayed the clinic is closing.
This was a vital service for the citizens of this county, and it is totally unbelievable that this evidence-based program is now no longer in existence in Ravalli County.
The Ravalli County Family Planning Clinic will close September 30th.
And in other news from around the state, former Governor Brian Schweitzer is adding his name to the list of people who support Barry Beach's efforts to be released from prison for a 1979 murder he says he didn't commit. The Great Falls Tribune reports Schweitzer wrote a letter to the State Board of Pardons and Parole yesterday, saying he didn't believe Beach needed to be incarcerated any longer. Schweitzer argued there is no physical evidence tying Beach to the murder of Kimberly Knees of Poplar, and there are questions about the validity of his confession. Beach is serving a 100-year sentence without the possibility of parole. Last week, an attorney for Beach submitted an application to the board asking it to recommend that Governor Steve Bullock eliminated the parole restriction so Beach can have a parole hearing.
About 80 people turned out today for the second of two public forums on the best place to locate the new $32 million Missoula College. Another 150 people turned out yesterday for the first forum. The University of Montana wanted to put the new college where the current university golf course is located, south of the main campus. Strong community objections prompted the university to consider a second site along East Broadway. The public forums are to find out which site the public most favors. UM President Royce Engstrom will then decide. Missoula City Councilman Alex Taft still prefers the south side location. He says the East Broadway site is too ugly.
And I say that because I have a lot of experience working in urban planning in cities. And to have one building in a sea of parking is not a great environment for education.
Renee Mitchell was among several who spoke against the south side location. Opponents want to preserve the golf course and open space there from development. Mitchell says the university will lose donors if they pick that site.
There's a woman in the audience today. She and her husband both worked at the university. He's a retired professor. She told me in December, we just changed our will and the university is no longer in it. The ill will that this rift is going to cause in this community is should they take that land. I don't think the university is going to be able to recoup.
An attorney for the South Campus opponents, Quentin Rhodes, says his group will sue if the university picks that site. Still others, including Mayor John Enkin and City Council President Marilyn Marler, want the new college built on the old Fox Theater site downtown. UM President Royce Engstrom made it clear that site is not on the table. Attorney Rhodes also favors the old Fox site or the East Broadway site, both of which are located along the river.
I think the East Broadway is intriguing. You know, there's a lot of river in our town that's not developed and that needs developed, and it would be a great opportunity to develop our stream side, and it would be a great example for the rest of the community to see what could be done with the river and how beautiful and inviting it could be.
Nancy Wilson is director of ASUM Transportation. She thinks the East Broadway site is too dangerous.
To have parking on both sides of the street. It is 45 miles an hour, and there's not a good sight line coming in from that street. It's already hard to turn in and out of that parking lot.
UM President Royce Engstrom says he will make a decision choosing either the East Broadway or South Campus site sometime after the public forums.
But in the end, I think that we'll have to just integrate all of the information we have before us and come to a decision about what makes the best sense for education for generations of students to come.
The university hopes to break ground for the new Missoula College next year.
Police in Bozeman have arrested a suspect in an early morning shooting that left three people hospitalized, at least one with life-threatening injuries. Police Chief Ron Price says the 25-year-old shooter was subdued by party guests after emptying his shotgun in the shooting at 4 a.m. today. All three victims, men in their 20s, were taken to Bozeman Deaconess Hospital. Price says the victim with the most serious wound was shot in the abdomen. Investigators learned an argument occurred at a house party and the suspect shot the victims in the driveway. Police say the suspect is Cody Christopher Little. Gallatin County Jail records indicate Little was booked this morning on suspicion of two counts of attempted deliberate homicide and assault with a weapon. The conditions of the victims were not immediately available.
Nearly 50 Cutbank residents have filed a lawsuit alleging their properties have been polluted by petroleum from a crude oil transportation and storage facility on the eastern edge of the city. The Great Falls Tribune reports the lawsuit was filed in U.S. District Court in Great Falls on September 6th on behalf of 46 property owners. They say petroleum discharge from the Tank Hill storage facility has contaminated soils and water, reduced property values, and exposed owners to health risks. The lawsuit names five companies that operated and either owned or leased the tanks, pipelines, pump stations, and related equipment on or near Tank Hill, which has been in operation since the 1930s. It was declared a Superfund site in 1994. The plaintiffs are seeking compensation, restoration of property damage, and punitive damages.
Montana's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate for August held steady at 5.3%. Department of Labor Commissioner Pam Busey says Montana had 3,200 more jobs than in August 2012, when the state unemployment rate was 6%. Total employment estimates, which include payroll employment and the self-employed, slipped by 650 jobs in August, but it was matched by a 720-person decline in the labor force, keeping the unemployment rate steady. The national unemployment rate declined by 0.1 percentage points to 7.3% in August.
A cool weather pattern is coming to western Montana the latter half of this weekend. Next week is set to feel a lot more like fall. The summer tourism season is now firmly behind us, but Capitol reporter Dan Boyce says it seems to have been a good one.
In the world of Montana fly fishing, emphasis is shifting away from summer dry flies and over to the sinking flies of fall, the nymphs.
Hare's ears, pheasant tails, lightning bugs.
Cross Current Fly Shop co-manager Jennifer Harris points out some of their hottest patterns. She says business has definitely slowed down the last month and a half.
July is nuts. It's absolute the recreation time. And then come August, it significantly decreases.
Really, August?
August.
The state considers the traditional summer tourism season to be the 3 months between Memorial Day and Labor Day. Half of the state's total tourism happens in this window. Communications manager for the Montana Office of Tourism, Sarah Lawler, says the state saw record visitation in 2012. 10.8 million visitors spent $3.3 billion in the state through the whole year.
And all indications are that 2013 is going to surpass those numbers.
Lawler says the first 6 months of 2013 had visitation almost 10% higher than 2012. The state's two biggest draws are Yellowstone and Glacier National Park. Lawler says Yellowstone's summer visitation was about even with last year, but Glacier was up more than 4%.
When they do well, it trickles down to our communities, and we have a very good travel season.
At Cross Currents Fly Shop, co-manager Jennifer Harris says the change of the season brings a change in the crowd.
To where we get our serious fall anglers that come out and more of your do-it-yourselfers.
They're the fishermen and women who really know what they're doing. And Harris says there may be fewer of them, but that's not such a bad thing.
There's definitely less pressure on our streams and our rivers, and so it's less crowded. So then you see a lot more locals starting to get back out, including myself.
I'm Dan Boyce, reporting in Helena.
The national organization Dress for Success says it's helped hundreds of thousands of economically disadvantaged women around the world in their job searches. This is ostensibly done by providing them with appropriate professional attire, but Dress for Success also follows up with other programs, including employment retention services. Dress for Success Missoula holds a fundraiser this weekend. In this evening's feature interview with Edward O'Brien, Dress for Success Missoula founder and CEO Teresa Sanford discusses the importance of this program. First, more on its history.
Dress for Success was launched in 1997 by one woman in New York City who felt that the women there needed clothing for job interviews. How horrible is it for anyone to go to a job interview in inappropriate clothing? So that was 16 years ago, and then it launched in several different cities and several different countries, and I launched it here in Missoula about a year ago. Our launch program is our suiting program. What we do is we provide professional attire for women who need professional attire for job interviews. Once they get a job, we then provide them with another week's worth of separates. Our next program launch is going to be, it's actually a Walmart initiative called Paving the Way Forward. And we'll do different workshops. We'll have a little career center set up for the women to really help them along their journey towards self-sufficiency.
I'm curious, why did you get involved to begin with?
Well, I'm from Denver, and I was very much aware of Dress for Success in Denver, but I was a struggling business owner at the time. I owned a mortgage company. I was in mortgage and real estate for 25 years, and I was trying to stay afloat. Back then, you know, we had some really good times and then some really bad times. So coming here to Missoula, my whole focus just changed, and I felt like it was my purpose, kind of something just driving me to get involved in this community. And I realized we have tons and tons of nonprofits, but none of them offered the service that we offer with regard to the suiting and the clothing.
And when you say suiting, what does that mean? How does that work?
What that means is the women are referred to us by various agencies around Missoula. And they come in and meet with us. We sit down with them. We get to know them. We talk about what their goals are with regard to, you know, employment. Do they want to just get a job or do they want to make a career? Do they want to make something for themselves? So after we get a little bit of information and what the job interview is for, we then select some either suits or separates, depending on what the job interview is for, have them try on some different outfits. And then once we find the winner, it's amazing the transformation that we see with her right then and there. The confidence level just shoots up.
Really?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Why is that?
I can speak for myself in that if I look good, chances are I feel good. So if these women were in general going to job interviews in jeans and t-shirts and tennis shoes, like a lot of them were, then what do you think is going to happen to their confidence level? Whereas if we put them in something that's more suitable, they just automatically feel better. We also provide jewelry, shoes, purses, and then they also get a week's worth of workouts with the women's club. They get a haircut and style through Misty Salon and Spa, and they get a Mary Kay makeover. So they teach them how to do interview appropriate makeup. You know, one of our biggest levels of clients is single moms. And if they're up against several women, you know, sometimes 20 women, 30 women, 40 women, and they're up against these other women for this job, first impression has to count with these employers.
How do you go about your side of this, suiting, as you say, for younger women versus a woman of a certain age versus a slender build versus a plus size? That's got to be tough.
I love clothing. I'm just going to say it. What I do and what I teach the employees to do is to keep in mind age appropriateness, I should say, as well as size. We've got such an assortment that we always take those things into consideration. We're not going to dress a 19-year-old in something that a 59-year-old would wear. It's just different. I wouldn't try in my 40s to wear something that a 20-year-old is going to wear.
I see it a lot, Teresa.
Yeah, and that's just not what we do.
Yeah. Ever run into confrontations? No, I don't think this works for me, you know, that sort of thing.
Once in a while, what I try to do, though, is instill in them that I have your best interest at heart. And so part of the reason for that upfront, you know, conversation is for them to develop maybe a little bit of trust that we know what we're doing. So they'll look at things that we've selected for them, and sometimes they will say, you know, I don't know about that. And I will say, do you trust me? I do. Try it on. Let's see how it looks. And if you're just hating it, that's not going to help your confidence level. So she has to also like what we select for her. And I'm telling you, every single client at the end of it, we're crying. It's a Hallmark moment because it's so amazing for these women.
Where do these clothes come from?
The community. The community donates them. We accept donations at our boutique, which is located at 1500 West Broadway. We accept donations from 12 to 3. And the community has been so incredibly generous with the clothing. So it's all donated.
What sort of clothing are you looking for? Maybe some more than others.
Professional clothing for sure. And taking into account that Missoula is a pretty casual town, we understand that. And so I would say that the actual number of suits we have compared to separates, which would include blouses, pants, skirts, the suits are a much smaller percentage than the separates that we do. We'll do jackets, cardigan sweaters, depending on the weather. I mean, we'll take all these different things into account.
Your services don't really stop at clothing, employment retention programs as well.
Absolutely.
Meaning what?
What that means is our goal is to not just, you know, provide clothing for these women. Our goal, once again, is to help them become self-sufficient. So many people will ask, well, how does clothing do that? Will it get you in the door if you have that confidence? I'm not saying that every woman who comes in is going to get the job the first go around. But what I'm saying is we start with the suiting program. Our next program launch is the Paving the Way Forward program, which is a Walmart initiative. Walmart and Dress for Success Worldwide are hand in hand with the programs that we launch. And so Dress for Success Missoula was one of 15 affiliates who received a $25,000 grant. And so with that, the women then become eligible to join our professional women's group. Well, we just provide additional services for them. Resume review, resume preparation, mock interviews. You know, some of these things I know some of the other agencies around town do provide, but this is going to be specific to the women of Dress for Success Missoula. So they're going to get some extra special care from us.
Kind of a one-stop center here.
Exactly.
Any yes. success stories that you could pass along to us?
Oh my gosh. So we have one girl, her name is Michelle, and Michelle has become our ambassador. She is a liaison for the pre-release center, and she's also an intern. She looks at me as her mentor. So Michelle's story is such that coming from the pre-release center, you know, she came from the Montana Department of Corrections. She wants to change her life. She made mistakes in her past, and now she is trying to move forward. And let me tell you, this girl is such a go-getter. She is going to be sharing her story on Sunday at our event, and it'll be the second time that she has shared her story. With regard to her employment, right now she's working as a janitor, but she knows what she needs to do to get to that next level. And right now, as long as she's still residing in the pre-release center, you know, it might be a little bit more difficult for her to look for and do other things with regard to her employment. So she knows that she is definitely going to be at the Dress for Success Missoula Boutique, utilizing the Career Center and things like that.
It sounds like she's laying the groundwork in a very constructive way.
She absolutely is. And it's important for us to have those success stories. And she's just one of several. But she has been the one. She comes to the boutique every Saturday and volunteers. And she wants to, as I said, she's a single mom. And she wants to do better for herself and for her kids.
Oh, good for her. Okay, yeah. You open the door. I'm going to walk through it. Fundraiser coming up.
Yes.
What's going on?
So we are doing the Power Walk for Dress for Success and Family Fun Day this Sunday, September 22nd at Fort Missoula from 11 to 4 p.m.
And what's going to take place?
First of all, the Power Walk is an international walk. It was created a few years ago, and so several affiliates around the world do this walk throughout the year, every year. This is going to be our first since we just launched here in Missoula last year, but we are so excited. We decided to add the Family Fun Day piece to it. So from 11 to 12 is going to be registration for the 5K Power Walk. And the cost for that is $20, which includes lunch. People can just come to the event and register at that time. From 12 to 1 will be the 5K walk. It'll be three laps around Fort Missoula, and it's really neat. Each lap represents each of the three phases that our women experience as they journey along their path to professional success. One, from being unemployed and searching. Two, to recently employed and adjusting. Three, to gainfully employed and succeeding. From 1 to 4 is going to be the Family Fun Day, and we have got so many things lined up for that, including food with the Wild Weenie, and it's funny, but he has the best hot dogs in town. He is a new business, fairly new business, so Fred is definitely helping us out. We're going to have some music with Three Eared Dog. It's a local band, and we're going to have live auctions, silent auctions, dog games. We're going to have taekwondo, a climbing rock wall, all kinds of different things for the family to enjoy.
Last question. Let's wrap up. Your advice for women who are looking for work, no matter whether if it's at a mine or an office, any general guidelines you could impart?
Three words. Dress for success. Period. If they're going for an interview at a mine, but it's for an administrative job, go dressed as an administrator. If they're going for a job at Walmart and it's for the cashier position, step it up just a little bit, because again, these women have to remember their competition. There are so many people that are vying for each one of these jobs. So dress for success, dress to impress. And I always say too, personally, what always helped me was to not dress for the job I have, but dress for the job I want.
Teresa Sanford, Missoula CEO of Dress for Success. Thanks a lot for coming in, and best of luck with the fundraiser.
Thank you for having me. Hope to see you.
Now for this weekend's forecast. West of the Divide tonight should be mostly clear with lows in the mid-30s to lower 40s. Tomorrow calls for mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain showers. There's also a slight chance of thunderstorms. Highs should be in the upper 60s to mid-70s. Sunday, look for mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain and highs in the upper 50s to mid-60s. Central Montana tonight will be mostly clear with lows in the 40s. Tomorrow, expect partly cloudy skies with highs 75 to 85 degrees. Sunday should be mostly cloudy with a chance of rain showers and highs in the 60s. In southwest Montana tonight, skies should remain mostly clear with lows 40 to 45 degrees. Tomorrow, look for partly cloudy skies with highs in the 40s. Expect south winds 20 to 25 miles per hour tomorrow afternoon. Sunday should be mostly cloudy with a chance of rain showers and isolated thunderstorms and highs in the 50s.
Currently, it's beautiful in our listening area. Helena is 78 degrees with sunny conditions. In Kalispell, it's sunny and 67 degrees. Butte has 71 under clear skies. Great Falls is sunny with 81 degrees. Here in Missoula, the temperature under clear skies is 76 degrees. It's 71 and sunny in Dillon. In Hamilton, it's sunny and 79 degrees. Libby has 71 with fair conditions. And in Polson, skies are clear and it's 71 degrees. And now for the editorial comments of Dave Galt.
Due to federal pressures of the Endangered Species Act and environmental litigants, Montana and other western states have decided to develop proposals for conserving sage-grouse. The Montana Petroleum Association is one of several organizations that asked the governor to appoint a council to discuss possible Montana solutions. Studies from Fish and Wildlife Services indicate that disease, predation, and hunting are not primary threats to the sage-grouse. Other solutions must be evaluated, such as human impact to habitat. That being the case, we're faced with surface use restrictions to protect the sage-grouse habitat from human activity and development. What this means could be devastating to local communities in terms of economic harm. Surface use restrictions would threaten many types of current and future economic activity, including energy development, housing, construction, and mining, as well as recreation on lands designated as core sage-grouse habitat. Here are a few facts from the 2012 Treasure State Journal. Direct and indirect jobs supported by the petroleum industry exceed 20,000. Total economic output from the oil and gas industry in Montana is in excess of $10 billion. Firms, investors, and employees of Montana's oil and gas industry paid an estimated $440 million in state and local taxes in 2011. And a 5% industry expansion would result in over 1,000 new jobs in Montana. Nationwide, the oil and gas sector has already seen a decline in drilling permits on federal lands under the current administration. Losing more ground to new management would have a negative economic impact. Nothing can guarantee that stopping rural development would save the sage-grouse. Management solutions should carefully balance conservation and economic activities such as farming and ranching, energy production, similar to the conservation plan developed in Wyoming. Proposals need to be mindful of unintended consequences, including how new management plans might affect existing localized efforts for managing sage-grouse. Montana's economy depends largely on agriculture, mining, and energy production. But this is not just an ag or resource development issue, but one that could potentially threaten all economic activity, including infrastructure like roads and transmission lines, and even renewable energy. Let's be clear. These efforts to manage sage-grouse habitat are to avoid listing the sage-grouse as an endangered species. The Endangered Species Act is a federal law that gives little consideration to economic vitality. The Montana Petroleum Association is thankful that we can play a part in developing a plan that adequately balances conservation, sage-grouse protections, and economic activity. We know that we can all coexist. After all, Montana is the treasure state and the Big Sky Country. Speaking on behalf of Montana's petroleum industry, I am Dave Gault.
Dave Gault is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Connor Ballantyne.
And I'm Courtney Anderson. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.